new this morning, here's something I want you to know about our church. Every time we gather on Sunday morning, there is an intention and a hope and a promise that we will open God's word and read from it. I'll talk about it. We'll preach from it. Whoever's up here will teach God's word to you every time we gather. So every Sunday, you can come and expect to hear God's word. It is also our intention and our hope that you encounter him. At the end of the day, the most important thing that comes from us gathering as his people is that we meet with him. And this is a meeting place for you to meet with him. That's where in worship and even the way service closes, the intention is that whatever is left undone or whatever God stirred up, that it has a place to respond to that. That you have an opportunity to say, yeah, God, I hear you. Yes, that's me. I need prayer. I want to meet with you. Whatever it is. So for that, even on a Vision Sunday like this, there will never be a talking head just talking about vision. We got to open God's word. Are you with me? So I want to start in the book of Deuteronomy. Why start here? Because if you know Deuteronomy, where it fits in the story, God's story, it's there in the Old Testament. It's the last of the five books that Moses wrote. But Deuteronomy comes right before Israel finally moves into the promised land, right before Joshua takes over. And it's the words of a leader, Moses, who knows his time is short. And he's about to go home to be with the Lord. He's about to transition. But Israel, as a people, is about to make a major transition as well. 40 years now. Don't worry, we're only 20 years, but 40 years they had been wandering in the wilderness, on the edge, unable to go into the next phase of their journey, the promised land. God was revealing himself some more. God was saying, hey, this is who I am. I can be trusted. And he had to take them on a few laps around the wilderness before they started believing that God can be trusted. And that was the intent, to bring them close. And now in Deuteronomy, they're about to go in, and he's saying, okay, let me just kind of recap everything for you. And so Deuteronomy is like a recap of everything. Everything God said, everything he was intending, the hope, the law, all of it. But there's two points here that I wanted to bring out in this book. One comes out of chapter 4. As Moses reminds Israel, you have a unique story. Your story is not like anybody else's story on planet Earth. And he reminds Israel, your story is unique. And he walks them through these few verses here. Take care, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. You guys have seen God do some amazing things, and I don't want you to forget them. We have seen God do some amazing things, and we as a church body, we are a community with a unique story. It's easy to forget, isn't it? Or it's easy to not know. Some of you first Sunday, every Sunday we have people here first time, and you are so welcome here. I'm thinking this is probably a great Sunday to be your first Sunday. It's either a terrible Sunday or a great Sunday, I'm not sure. To be your first Sunday, but man, I'm glad you're here. But know that you're coming into a family, a community that has a story that God's been writing. And you're joining that story at this time. In fact, it's an amazing thought this morning, thinking about the fact that every face in this room, listening online, every one of you who are here, God had in mind 20 years ago. We had no idea who you were, but he did. He saw your face, he saw your family, he saw what he wants to do in your life, he saw the haven this place would be, he saw the healing that would come through the community here. He somehow saw you, and you were the reason. You were it, why we came. That's a crazy thought, isn't it? But he reminds them, you have this unique story, and he talks to them about their story and saying, remember how the Lord spoke to you and what he said to you on the mountain. Remember Sinai and the experience, all of this. But that's what days like this are for. to remind us of our unique story. And now we all get to be a part of the next leg, but you are part of this story. We are a story of a community impact. We're a church that has a history in caring about the city around us. We're a church with a lot of stories about miraculous building campaigns and land campaigns. Amazing stuff. It's a part of our history. There's more than what was shared there. It's just part of our story. We're a church with a story about navigating change. I mean, after COVID, every church has one of those stories now, but you know, not many churches have been through two different significant merge type events in their life. One with the church, two churches, one with a school, two schools and a church coming together for RSM Christian. And all that goes into that, it's part of our story. We are a church with a story of miracles of provision. We're full of stories of hearing and obeying God's voice, and we're full of stories of partnering with other churches. That's part of our story, and many other things. Only God knew that we would be the Bridge Church when he named us in Santa Fe Springs, in Rancho Santa Margarita, on the bridge. Just let that settle in for a minute. And even how we got to here, from there to here, but how we would be the Bridge Church on the bridge here in Rancho Santa Margarita. Only God knew. Not only that, but he goes on and he tells them in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy. Again, it's a long, maybe three sermons that Moses gives, but in chapter 7, he reminds them that they are uniquely unimpressive. Is that okay to say? He reminds Israel. He says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. You're his community. He called you out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth." But this is it. "It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you are the fewest of all peoples. It is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord your God has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of slavery, out of the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." As they're about to move into the promised land, I mean, the place that God had been preparing for them and pointing to, he just takes a moment, I don't know, like any good father, leader, dad says, "Hey, just remember, when things go well for you, remember it had nothing to do with you." Is that fair to say? It wasn't because you saw our team. I brought that picture. I mean, you can put that picture back up just for kicks because it was great. It's one of my favorite pictures of all time. It sits on my desk in this frame because I'm thinking, who's crazy enough to do this? And I show it to you again because I'm hoping maybe to stoke some of you to think, yeah, he doesn't need me to be amazing. He just needs us to be willing. But he says, "You guys weren't the most numerous. In fact, you're probably the hardest people on planet Earth to work with." Stiff-necked, he called them, like, "I can't even go with you into the land. Listen, I'm just going to end up killing you all because I can't deal with you. I have no patience for that." And Moses is like, "If we won't go without you." He's like, "Okay, I'll be nice." No, he says, "No, I'm going to reveal who I am. I'm a God of mercy and steadfast love. I got a lot of it in me. So yeah, I can handle you being a little stiff-necked and a bit rebellious. We'll walk this out together." You know, it's interesting. We're always looking for what's impressive as people, normal human beings. We look for what is impressive. Some of you might have found the church because it looked impressive from the bridge. Somehow the Lord brought people to our church when we were in the school, and it did not look impressive. Trust me. In fact, I remember some Sundays where, like, when the women went on women's retreat, I hated it. Like, there's more people on stage doing worship than there are in the congregation for the message. This is terrible. And I would cringe. I'm like, please don't visit today. Please don't visit today. Why did you send them to visit today of all days? Uniquely unimpressive. See, we don't have to be anything other than that. Are you content to be uniquely unimpressive? Now, we're not unimpressive for the sake of being unimpressive. There's no value in that. But there is value in realizing that's not what we're trying to be. We're not trying to be impressive. We're just trying to be the people of God, listening to his voice and doing what he asks us to do. That's the goal. And out of that, he builds a community. He brings people together. Why did God call youth pastors in Santa Fe Springs to plant a church called The Bridge with 12 other young adventurers in RSM? You know, this passage kind of points it out, and I'll just spell them out real quick. Three things that Moses says. Because he wanted to demonstrate his love. He wanted to demonstrate his love on the community. Verse 8, it is because the Lord loves you. Not because you're impressive. It's because the Lord loves you. If I have one message for this church, this is what I know. The Lord absolutely loves you. He loves us, and he's crazy about us. It's not because we're awesome. It's because he thinks we're awesome. He just thinks the world of us. Secondly, he says, because of promises made to generations before you. Why did he do all of this? Because he was keeping his faithful promises that he made to generations long before that group finally went into the promised land. Now that is something that we don't have a full written history of. I don't know all of the promises made, because as I think about the promises, I realize those promises go back to even before my grandparents. The first generation, my great-grandparents, who came to faith in Jesus when they immigrated from Italy. I think there's some promises he's fulfilling in my own life, but that's just mine. I think there's promises that he's fulfilling in the city to people who were here at the founding of it. There's promises that he's fulfilling to founders who founded Mission Hills 45 some years ago when it was a church plant coming out of Melody Land. There are so many promises that God is fulfilling that you and I may or may not even know about that have nothing to do with us, but everything to do with the fact that he said it and he's good on his word. Amen. To carry it out. Amen. God has things that he wants to do that are bigger than you and me, and they predate us. And if we needed a promise bigger than anything else, we could go all the way back to Jesus. He said, ask of me and I'll give you the nations as an inheritance for you. That was the promise to Messiah. We're a part of this. Promises made to generations past. And then lastly, because he has more family in this area to redeem from slavery to sin and from the hand of the enemy. Why did he call you? Why did he do this? Because he loves you, because he's keeping his promises, because he wanted to redeem you from sin and slavery in the hand of Pharaoh. There are more people around us by the thousands that are part of his family that he wants to bring out of the slavery to sin and under the oppression of the devil. That's just a fact. And you and I get to be a part of that journey as we move forward. I remember driving, spying out the land. I tell this story often. It's good for me to tell. But we finally came up here. We finally agreed with God that he was calling us to Rancho Santa Margarita. We finally said, let's just go look, because I don't even know who lives there, what it looks like. I know nothing about the city. And we were driving now where In-N-Out is, right down Santa Margarita Parkway. And all of a sudden, I had this, like, this rush of fear and anxiety hit me in the car. And it was the practical word of, who the heck do you think you are to think you'll make a difference in this city? I mean, it was as loud and intimidating a voice as you can imagine. And I thought, they need Chuck Smith to come out here. They need, and I started going through the list of like big name preachers that I know in this area. Like, that's who needs to start a church in Rancho Santa Margarita, not this guy. And that overwhelmed me. And I just remember driving, I was like, whoa. And then on the heels of that, the Holy Spirit spoke this verse to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God chose the foolish thing, foolish in the world, to shame the wise. And God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human might boast in the presence of God. And on the heels of that verse came this word, because I'll get the credit for what happens here. If we could live our lives like that, without having to try to get the credit for ourselves, and realize that God is the one who makes the foolish wise. Like, in the foolishness of just hearing and listening to God, like, that's how we could live our lives, that he could do everything and anything he wanted to do, and that would be enough. That in our own weakness is when he's strong. So, you're saying, God, I can be a fool and I can be weak and I can be nothing and we can get this done. Yep, and I'll get the credit. I love that he gets the credit for this. I'm happy to be a fool who just listens to what he says. I'm happy to be weak and say, I'm dependent on you, Lord. I'm on my knees. And I'm happy to be a nothing, so that he can be everything. Who can't do that? Are you with me? You can do that. I can do that. We can do that. We can be more nothing. We can be more weak. We can be more foolish and just do what he says and watch him move and get the credit for what happens. So those are lessons from the past. By the way, that is why things like learning to hear God's voice. We're doing a series on Wednesday nights. It's starting up here soon. On the website, you'll find more info on it. But hearing God is such a priority. You've got to learn to hear God's voice. If you delight to, if you want to hear God's voice, come to this. You want to learn some tools to help you hear that still small voice of God, come for that. So where are we headed now? Presently, this year. When we choose a theme for the year, it's not a what sounds good and what is trendy on the year. It's not an AI search on like, what should we talk about this year, Lord? AI, whoever you are. It's a season. It's like listening to the Lord about the season that we're moving into. It's like him describing or putting some things into place and saying, this is what is coming. Prepare for it. And every year of our life, for 20 years, this has been a part of the journey. God just giving us clarity about seasons and saying, move. And this year, I put it in that letter that you got, is the word reach. It's reach. And it's this picture of reaching for everything God has in store for you in your life as a follower of Jesus. It is the picture of us reaching across these divides that are gonna come this year for sure and saying, oh no, we can stand united. Nothing, nothing needs to keep us apart. We have a ministry of reconciling and bringing people together, not division. Are you with me? Pulling sides together. And it is a picture of a church that is mobilized to reach a community that doesn't come inside these walls. They're out there. And how we together do that. That's what the series we're going to begin next week is, Reaching for It All. That's the series. It's coming out of Philippians chapter 3. This is the key phrase, key verses that we're going to be breaking down. Philippians 3 verse 12, it says, this is Paul talking now. Not that I've already obtained all this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I don't consider that I've already made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is the passion of this series. And I believe it is the passion that he wants to start with us in, like getting our attention and our hearts as people. Our past is wonderful, but it is in the past. The best of the past are the things it reminds us of and expounds on or magnifies about the character of God, but it is still in, say it with me, the past. It's still the past. And we were never called to live in it or wallow in the past, either one. We have today. The past is a launching pad into what God has for sure. The past is a building in the sense of a built story is built out of that, but it is still the past. And today is 2024, and today is the beginning of the next 10 years of our life together. Today is the place and the time, like Pastor Cammie said, the divine appointment is today. And so we don't want to rest in the past. Build from it, yes, but launch from it. And we don't want to wallow in it. Regrets and pain and trauma from the past. God is saying, I'm taking you from that perspective of looking backwards and saying, take my hand, let me run with you toward what I have for you in your race today. And that race that is marked out for you is both individual and it is corporate. There are aspects of running in the things God has for us that you cannot do alone. There are parts of you, your gifting, your mix, your reason, your why, that you'll never experience as an individual running in a race. There are hardships, challenges, and joys that you are created to run with other people and experience together. We gotta run together. But there's a race marked out for you. There's a reason that there are pastors in your life, by the way, given to the church as gifts from Jesus himself to say, hey, listen, how can I encourage? How can we protect? How do we stand with authority against the works of the enemy? How do we surround your families in times of need? How do we challenge growth, spur it up in each other? There are reasons for those things. That is what the community is about. That's what the church is. Right. To point us back to the word, I hope every Sunday is uncomfortable in some way possible for you, just so you know. Every message in your opening God's word is uncomfortable for us. It should be, because he's not like us. Are you with me? He's just so much better. He's so much more loving. He's so much more kind. He's so much more unifying and reconciling. He's so much more forgiving and merciful and gracious than I am. And so every time I open the word, I see who I'm called to be, and I see the gap too. Are you with me? And Paul said there's going to come a time when people will only surround themselves with those who will say what they want to hear and not what they need to hear. And we are in that time. Literally, the algorithms of your social media will only tell you what you want to hear and surround you in the echo chamber of your own thinking. That's why we come to God's word. Let it shake us up a little bit. Let us remind us of his thoughts. Are you with me? This year, I got some really good news for you, just so you know. We have way more vision than budget. I just wanted you to know that. I hope it sounds like good news to you, because it is great news to me. We will not get there unless we do it together. Reach has pulled out some big things for us in dreaming and vision and such. Some of this strategy, a lot of it involves and reaches and mobilizes our youth. Planning a huge Orange County youth outreach called Collide. It's going to be fantastic here. We have our kid reaching and family reaching mega skills camp that will be in the summer. Snow Day is planned back here to reach our not just kids, but also families and parents. We've got a youth missions trip to Chiapas to continue the next phase in building the kitchen there at Aguas Sagradas. We've got another youth missions trip to Ireland to demonstrate the love of Jesus for the entire city of Derry, a place that needs hope. It's going to be fantastic. There's flyers for both of those trips out by the Connection Center, by the way, if you're a young person in the house. I just want you to know that. Our young adults are going to begin a quarterly music and coffee outreach. Much of the plan involves also mobilizing us, the church, to reach the lonely in this community. New partnerships with RSM Cares is already underway. We will be having Easter in the park and getting to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Come on. His death and his resurrection, who he is, to our city. Hallelujah. Outside, open air. Come on, that's a big deal. This year we're going to begin. We're looking for the place and the timing in the fall to do an alpha course for our community. Invite them into a space where we can eat a meal together and ask some of the big questions about God. We're going to find new ways this year to equip parents and strengthen marriages. A couple new outreach opportunities as well. We've got a trip to Bratislava to serve European missionaries, care for them as they come together. And we're going to have putting the plans together for another house build trip in Mexico together where we can build homes for those in need. This is just some of it. That's like, and I say some of it, I mean some of it. I'm saying there's way more vision than budget in 2024, so let's do this thing. Are you with me? What will the next 10 years entail? Well, Lord willing, there'll be years marked by building and planting. Building and planting. I had hoped today to share with you images and pictures for the rest of our campus and the final stages of building out for the school, a gymnasium, a field for sports, all new classrooms, two stories, and plenty of parking for everybody underneath all of that. It's underway, but we're working still through some final city and planning things. I don't want to show you a picture until we know it can be done. And so hopefully by the end of the year, all of our entitlements and the plan will be done so we can say, hey, listen, this is what's coming. But this is part of what's coming in these next few years, but also planting. Planting. There is a part of this heart, not just this pastor's heart, but this church. Man, I'm telling you, it's in us. Some of you, it's in us to have a church strategy that is so committed to reaching a city and a community is fantastic. But to reach a county, then there's got to be other plants to reach other cities who will say, we'll go 14 crazy people or 10 or 50, and we will love this city in the name of Jesus for such a time as this. We're going to win Mission Viejo. We're going to make sure that every household knows and is convinced that they're loved. Lake Forest, Ladera Ranch, wherever. And so, again, that's not something I can do, but I'll believe if it's here, it's in you. It's in some of you to have that heart to say, let's go. Listen, and when the time comes, you'll have a church family behind you wanting to send you off and support you and pray for you and stand with you as you go and reach another city. Are you with me? So hopefully it's 10 years full of building and planting and many other things. What can I encourage you to do? These are my final action steps for the morning before we turn back our hearts to the Lord and just say, God, you're so good. And that's where we're going to settle. One, March 2nd, we're going to do a little conference here. It's a Saturday morning. And I know you all can't come. Probably some of you families will be divided between sporting events and 800 other things. But if somebody from your family could be here, we're going to do two things that morning. We're going to share and inspire just opportunities. How can we reach the lonely in Rancho Santa Margarita? What is God's heart and what are some practical ways? And we're going to try to partner with local organizations to that so you can have ideas and concepts and give some space for you to hear from the Lord yourself. How might God use you and your family to reach and minister to this crisis of loneliness that is around us? That's what that time is for. And so, man, send somebody or come together. There'll be childcare for all ages, but represent. Like, this is a big deal for this year. I want to say this, break through whatever COVID walls are left, and maybe pre-COVID walls are left, that would keep you away from biblical community. Just being with people outside of Sunday, being with people in a way, in a space where you guys can do life together. I know there's some invisible walls and barriers. I run up against them too. You guys see them, but I'm saying, hey, listen, we got to let those walls come down. Because we've got to just simply be able to run together as the people of God. Expect to grow this year. My heart is, man, as a church, that we are growing. We're saying, God, I want everything you have for me. Expect to go and be mobilized and do things that you're not doing now. Just expect. I don't know what they are, but just different rhythms, different practices that are going to communicate to people, I'm here, I see you, and I love you in Jesus' name. We're here to help. We're here to care. Because we're going to address, we can't solve it maybe, but we're going to bring the kingdom to the city and deal with the issues, some of the issues of loneliness for some people, just because we're going to be mobilized together.